Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March 1st, 2026. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. This is a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading. I've told this story before, but I don't believe in a Lenten diary, so here goes. I grew up in a church that did not practice infant baptism, but did practice baptism by immersion. Because of this, I actually remember my baptismal date, January 12, 1975. In addition to the date, I remember two other things about my baptism. One, the water was cold. We had a baptismal pool in the church itself, and the heating element had malfunctioned, so the water wasn't even room temperature. Two, the other thing I remember is that when the preacher put me under, he held me there just a few seconds longer than it took him to say, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Truthfully, it felt like I was under for way longer than I probably was. I was convinced the preacher was trying to drown me. But when I came up out of the water and was gasping for air, I honestly could never remember being so glad to breathe as I was that day. I kind of took that big inhale. It felt like a new lease on life. There's something special about that. That feeling that you've come close to maybe an untimely end and now you're alive again. My guess, though, is that most Christians of the mainline variety, like Episcopalians, we think of being a Christian as an additive to our identity, rather like a sweater or coat we put on over our existing clothing to keep ourselves insulated in winter. In this understanding, Christian identity is simply overlaid onto all of the other goods or ills we may already be carrying with us through this life. If you believe that a person is fundamentally good, just adding the word Christian doesn't really change them that much. But for Paul, baptism completely washes away our identity. The water itself acts as a veil. When we pass through it, we go from this life, which becomes the old life, into death, back to life again, which is a new life. In baptism, he says, we are raised to a new and different life altogether. We are literally reborn. Baptism not only puts a period on the old life, it also points to the promised resurrection life of Jesus. To be honest, most of us probably don't think very much about what baptism points towards. And we probably can't wax eloquent on this matter like Paul. And maybe we wouldn't want to if we could. And nevertheless, Paul's insight into the importance of baptism and its life-changing nature redounds to us today. What does it mean to you, dear listener, to be a baptized follower of Jesus? How does this identity inform the way you go about your life? The choices you make, the habits you have, the ways you relate to neighbors near and far. What would it look like if all of us Christians actually started acting like our baptisms had changed us? Lent is the season where traditionally adults who were planning to be baptized at the Easter Vigil were prepared for the event. There was this belief that you needed to be taught the doctrines of the faith prior to baptism. As such, Lent is a great time of year for those of us who are baptized to think deeply about our own baptisms, even if we can't remember them, and think about the ways in which we are shaped to follow Jesus as a result of passing through that watery grave, even if that watery grave only looked like a few spritzes of water on our head as a baby. Or, to put it as Paul puts it in today's reading, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, for me, there's no time like the present to give thanks for the waters of baptism. And here's one of my favorite passages from the baptismal liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer, which directly echoes today's reading from the 6th chapter of the letter to the Romans. Here's the line. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Yes! Amen. And thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.